Hello and welcome to Animates, bringing you stories about animals and how we connect with them. This program is recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. I'm Annette Rosen. Today in Animates, we are interviewing Pam from Sydney, a very special person who has dedicated much of her life to helping animals, especially dogs. She's sourced emergency carers, rescued and rehomed hundreds of animals, and reunited lost dogs with their loved ones. Very often, she's been the only support person for the people at the end of the lead during difficult times, and she's made a huge difference to their lives, and many of them have become lifetime friends, including myself. So, Pam, welcome to Animates. And I was hoping we could start by you telling us, how did you develop this passion for animals? Because I believe it's something that came later in life to you.
Well, I came to Australia when I was in my 30s and made a disastrous marriage and went to live in the Southern Highlands on a farm. And I remember it was a miserable cold day, and it can get very cold in the Southern Highlands, when a man came to see my then husband, and he had a huge tog bag, and I saw some legs sticking out of the tog bag, and he said, "I've just seen a dead kangaroo on the road, and I saw this Joey in the pouch. It won't live, but I just couldn't bear to leave it there." And I'd never seen this in my life. It was all legs. And he took this little creature out. It was a freezing cold night, and we had a fire going, and my instinct was to keep it warm. Now, my profession is a social worker. So I'd worked in mental health and in the slums in South Africa, but I'd never had a pet, and I think I must have been about 45 at this stage. Anyway, I took this little creature out, wrapped it in a warm blanket, and early that morning phoned my vet and decided to fight for the life of this creature and imported kangaroo mix, and the Joey grew and grew and grew some more. And it was amazing. And then that, I became known for that. So people in the area would bring me injured animals and I would get information from the vet. And I realized that there isn't that much difference between nurturing humans and nurturing creatures. The love that I had for the living was turned not against people, but into helping animals. And that started me on an amazing adventure. And what it teaches us is never define yourself as this is who you are. That life gives us opportunities to turn and twist and change. So from that experience, I came to look after wombats, etc., etc. And then I went on to buy a property where I rescued personally 100 abused and neglected dogs. I came to the city where I am now about 25 years ago.
You said that you were in a bad way when this little Joey appeared on your doorstep. How did the Joey help you?
Well, I think when you are not feeling good about life or yourself and you're in a position to see the need of a creature that is so helpless, something takes place in you and you elevate it and it pulls on your heartstring and it takes you away from yourself. I think a lot of narcissism is the reason that we remain down and unhappy and withdrawn. And in watching the rehabilitation and the growth of this creature, and then of course I gave it to Wires, uplifted my spirit. And I think also as time went on, gave me the strength to realize my own worthiness again and end that relationship and change direction, which I did. And then I came to Sydney. So I think that the love that you give to an animal, and they're so unconditional. With a wild animal, it's very different, but you have to still earn trust, which I did, and feed with a bottle till it was old enough to be released. So it did have a big impact on me, moment.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. You've many, many stories I know from knowing you for quite a while. Absolutely uplifting and wonderful stories of how animals help humans and humans help animals. So you said you had a couple of stories that you'd like to share.
Two. There are many stories, but I'm going to choose two. I moved into a little cottage, and I'd hardly been in the cottage. I had a basic bed and a chair and a table. And I think I had, at that stage, two little dogs of my own. And I was sitting in a park nearby, and I noticed that a woman was crying very bitterly on a bench, crying very hard and heavily. And she had two dogs with her. And I just could not turn away from that sorrowful sight. And I went up to her, and I said to her, "Can I help you?" And she was, I think she was Armenian, and she said to me that she's a cleaning lady and that she lives in a rented apartment and that the neighbours had reported her for having dogs, and the council had come to see her 2 days ago and they'd given her until the next day, that's after we saw each other, and they were going to take the dogs to the dog pound. And my instinct kicked in, and I said to her, "Don't worry, come with me." And I took her and the two dogs to my cottage, and I said to her, "I'll keep the dogs." And she started to cry, and she said, "But I can't pay you." And I said, I don't want money. And she said, "Can I come and see them every day?" And I said, "Of course." And she did that for quite a few months, and she was a poor lady. She used to make food for me. And eventually, she got on her feet, and might have been 6 months or a year, she fetched the two dogs. And I remember the one dog's name was Melina, because this is an unbelievable story. She took the dogs and thanked me very much and blessed me, etc. And I said it was a pleasure, and I forgot about it. And about a year later, I'd been out and I came to my house and I'd had two little dogs of my own and they were in the house. But when I went into my back garden, I noticed there was a dog. And when I got to the dog, I saw the name around the tag and it was Melina. She'd put the dog over my fence. And when I laid my hands on the dog's body, it was racked and filled with lumps. And I realized that the dog had cancer. And I realized that the dog had to be euthanized and that she didn't have the money to do that and have it cremated. And I took it and the dog was riddled with cancer. I was right. And the dog was put down. And what came to me was a few people who heard the story said, "She took advantage of me," but I said, no, the opposite. It's the greatest trust that anybody's given me since I'm born. She knew that I wouldn't hesitate to stop the suffering of the dog and I would help the dog. And I thought that was an incredible thing to happen in a lifetime. So that was the one incredible story to do with another human being. And that is a story that I've never, ever really shared with anybody, but it's remained very deep in my soul.
And really, those two dogs helped you and your friend who owned them.
Without a doubt. I don't think in this world that we don't receive when we give. I think that in the New Testament it is said, it is the giving that we receive. I don't think that anybody, especially with animals, who gives love and stops suffering, doesn't heal parts of themselves. It was a great privilege, and it's been a continual privilege for me in everything I do. I think the person who does the giving is a very privileged person. So that was initially when I moved into my house, and then 3 years ago, on the same bench, a woman had heard of me and phoned me, and we met. We sat on that same bench that those dogs were taken and helped by me. And this was a woman of 70 who, through the economic stress, had lost her home, and her dogs were living in a car, and she was in a room of a friend's flat. And these were two Western Highland Terriers, brother and sister. They were 12, and they'd been in the car for 4 days. And I said to her, no, they can't live in the car. They can live with me. And this was 3 years ago. They came to live with me. She remained a great friend, a great supporter, very grateful, very caring of her dogs. And the one got diabetes, so I had to learn to inject, and sadly, he lost his fight last year. And what I feel is very powerful, and what I'd like to write a book one day, is the people at the end of the lead. And it isn't the animal on its own, usually. I have many times to help animals of divorced people where they're both suffering and in pain, and they need counseling. And I've been able to not only befriend them, but direct them to people who can support them and professionals. So life has become the people at the end of the lead, and gets richer with every year that I grow older.
Thank you, Pam. And I believe that those two dogs that you had and the one that just died also brought great comfort to your housemate.
Oh, yes. Yes, my friend Peter, who's my partner, is absolutely, we've had dogs, we've lost dogs, and dogs give unconditional love and pour so much back on one that you never feel alone. Yes. There's always a reason to get up, and there's always a reason to smile.
I understand that Peter's pretty much confined to the house these days, and he was able to speak his native language.
Oh, yes, the dogs all speak Hungarian.
Yes, they all speak Hungarian.
They bark in Hungarian, and I often wake up in the morning and I hear, and I think, gosh, who's visiting? And I'll hear this foreign language, long conversations, no answer really coming back. But he's convinced that all dogs are Hungarian. I'm actually convinced they're all South African, but I believe they are Australian.
So dogs, they're very versatile and a great comfort to everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, well, thank you so much for talking to us today, Pam. We're really delighted to share those stories with our audience, with our listeners.
It's been a pleasure and a privilege. Thank you.
Thank you,
Pam. All the best. Bye.
Bye, Pam. You've been listening to Animates. This program has been recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. Our technical producer is Katie Brooks, research by Joseph Schwanzer, and I'm Annette Rosen. Please join us again next time for more stories of animals and their mates. ¶¶